truth for today. Tape recording. Oscar M. Baker is speaking. And the date is still October the 12th, 1986. And our subject is the book of Genesis. And we are ready here to start with chapter 11. I almost lost my place. Okay, chapter 11 of Genesis. Okay. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. Didn't have to study Latin, Greek, and German, and Hebrew, and so on those days, did you, in school? Well, we're not too sure of what that language was on the face of the earth at that time. There are a few evidences that possibly it was somewhat of the Hebrew. But as we go back and find some of the earliest writings, we have found that that was not exactly so. And we're not too sure what the earliest writings might be. But most of the tablets that have been dug up from clear back almost to Adam, they've been able to break the language, break the alphabet, or the signs, as may be the first ones are pictographs, and able to read them. Now, as far as we have found so far, it seems that the ancient Sumerian was the oldest, as far as they've found so far. Now, I may go back to that. That's a way back. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Well, now, east of Shinar would take you not very long over into Asia. Not too far. Now, it depends on how far they were traveling. Now, if you look at your maps, you'll see the Tigris, Euphrates, and other rivers that are well known down in that part of the land. And you can find where they flow down into the Gulf. And remember that the land has been extended a great deal by yearly rains and floods until there's at least 75 miles of land has been pushed down into the Gulf. And so some cities which at one time were on the seashore are 75 to 80 miles inland. So the geography has changed a little. So this is the plain of Shinar, and of course we know right away that this is the plain where the Tower of Babel was built, so I'm anticipating. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." Burn them thoroughly. See, a lot of brickwork back in those days just laid up with sun-dried brick. It didn't last too well. Of course, it wouldn't last at all very long if they had much rain. But here's a significant thing. And they had brick for stone. Instead of using something as durable, such as stone, they used brick. Now, when we get into the pyramids of Egypt, we find stone. The brick was made in Egypt a little later than some of the stone was used, but the brick was used particularly for granaries to keep their crops. And, of course, we read in the story later on of how that the people of Israel were to make brick and build these buildings. And so they had brick for stone and slime, bitumen, what we make roads out of and so on, had they for mortar to stick them together. And probably that would last longer than a brick. Well, we have this slime, bitumen. We find it used many times In fact, it was what was used to caulk the ark with. And it was also used in a little ark or basket that Moses was in. Kephar. Something like reconciliation to keep the waters of judgment out. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. The words may reach in there are in italics and are not in the original. Your note in your companion Bible says that it's in its top with the heavens. That is a zodiac depicted on it. And we have found many others like that, and so that was it. And that became an object of worship, the signs of the zodiac. Very superstitious about those things. In connection with that and what that really means to us, why read Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and so on. And so let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Man's ambition, to build, to make himself a name. And they're still doing it. And that was a long, long time ago. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, a people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to. Same words we had over here at the people used. Let us go down there, confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build a city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, Babbling. That's what they sounded like when they talked. Not everybody talking something else, different language. Because the Lord did confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now, how that language has changed, I don't know. There have been various speculations that they divided into groups and didn't understand each other's ideas and so forth, and their language degenerated into something to fit their particular situation. Well, now, that's a little bit along the evolution style. I rather think that God did do something to their tongues. At any rate, they scattered like a bunch of scared rabbits. Verse 10. These are the generations of Shem. Now we've just gotten through with the generation of Shem. Here's a little review. Shem was 100 years old and began Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. And Arphaxad lived 530 years and begat Selah. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Selah 403 years and begat sons and daughters. And Selah, the son of Arphaxad, lived 30 years and begat Eber. And we find that it is in his time that the earth was divided. We'll get to that sometime later. And Eber lived 430 years and begat Peleg. And Eber lived after he begat Peleg 430 years and begat sons and daughters. And Peleg lived 30 years and begat Reu. And Peleg lived after he begat Reu 209 years and begat sons and daughters. And Reu lived 230 years and begat Sered. And Reu lived after he begat Sered 207 years and begat sons and daughters. And Sered lived 30 years and begat Nahor. Now we're getting to a name that we recognize. Nahor. And Sered lived after he begat Nahor 200 years and begat sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 29 years and begat Terah. So Nahor was the grandfather of Abraham, see? Terah was Abraham's father. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, which is later changed to Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. So you see another neighbor coming in here. The name is repeated. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begat Lot. They began to get their family. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. You can unwind that a little bit, and you'll find that the relationship with Abram and Sarah was, she was his half-sister. Now you can figure that out of this for yourself. And Sarah was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. They didn't get all the way. Now they followed the Euphrates River northward and then westward as it curved around. And you'll find on your map Haran just almost directly north of Canaan. And so they dwelt there. They didn't go on and do as the Lord had said. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. All right, now we're ready for chapter 12. And this is an important chapter, just as 11 is in the building of the Tower of Babel and the rebellion. Here we have a new beginning in chapter 12, the first unconditional covenant made with a man. And the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, or nations. That is looking forward to the millennium, where Israel will finally be a blessing and not a curse to the nations, where they will take up the great commission given Matthew 28:18-20, before the 12 apostles, with the 12 tribes under them, and they will systematically give the gospel of life to the nations. How many converts they'll have, I don't know. But I know that at the end of it, it will not be a success. There will be a great multitude that Satan can muster together in rebellion against Israel and the Holy City. Well, I'm anticipating, but you can catch the thread sometimes, and these will mean more to you. So here in chapter 12, the first three verses, an unconditional covenant. What I mean by unconditional, he doesn't say, no, no, if you will do so-and-so, I will do so-and-so. He says, without any question, without any thing that you do on your part and so on, I'm going to do this. That's unconditional. God knew Abraham. He knew what he'd do. And he knew, of course, the future too. But he has to let things work out and let people have their choice so that there won't be any force, any coercion, that people will love and serve God because they want to. That's what he wants. He doesn't want any forcing whatever. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, a lot with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So he stayed there 25 years, if you do your little figuring, in Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came, going practically straight south. And Abram passed through the land into the place of Shechem, and the plain of Morah, and then a parenthesis, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Now, if he hadn't stayed that 25 years up there at Haran, it might have been a little different when he went into the land. We find the same thing happening when Israel leaves Egypt and goes into the land, the Canaanite is in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he, that is Abram, an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain in the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. I don't know how far he would have gotten if everything was all right, but the trouble is, if something happened, he went right on through Canaan instead of staying there. Well, that comes up. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there. Seems that everybody has to go down to Egypt and get into trouble. For the famine is grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, they said unto Sarah his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. He's afraid of what's going to happen. You make him provision for it. I'm going to tell a fib. Now, it is half truth. She was his half sister, but she wasn't actually his sister. And it came to pass, Abram was coming to Egypt. The Egyptians beheld a woman that was very fair. The princess also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he treated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. Now, I don't know what these were. Plagues in Egypt, be most anything. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? He's beginning to smell a rat, as we say in our slang. Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore behold thy wife, and take her, and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all he had. Kicked him out of the land with all his property. But he wasn't supposed to stay down there anyhow. He had a promised land. So he gets back into it. Chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all he had, Lot with him, into the south. I might say now that Lot was his nephew, and Lot's father was dead. So Abram was looking after Lot. Now, how much difference there was between the age of Abram and Lot, I don't know. Not too awfully much, maybe. Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. It reminds me a little bit about later on when Jacob makes a journey and comes back to where he started. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And the Lot also went with Abram, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Now, that land down there is pretty rough, and so it couldn't keep a whole lot of folks. Not like some of our land here does, we build cities and so on. A lot of farmland around. And there was a strife between a herdman of Abram's cattle and a herdman of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, and if thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. He's giving Lot his choice, which has made some people think that possibly Lot was a little older than Abraham. That may not be exactly a proof. And Lot lift up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the ends of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot shows him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, folks, that's got an ominous tone in it. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom as his first step. Be careful. Don't ever start pitching your tent toward Sodom. The attractive things of the world and so on. Sodom was a great city at that time, rich. But it says here they were also something else in verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. But like some of the people we have in our own country today, it's getting like Sodom. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was departed from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward, for all the land which thou seest. To thee will I give it, and I to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Well, we would say it's an obvious exaggeration, but on the other hand, how true it is. We couldn't number them. Arise, walk through the land and the length and the breadth of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and there built an altar unto the Lord. So he went toward Hebron, and Lot went toward Sodom. Well, that sounds a little like a foreshadowing something. But you know, when a man gets into evil ways, he always has to make that first step. Pitch his tent towards Sodom. All right, chapter 14. We have some time left here. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, and Kedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Persia, king of Gomorrah, Shinar, king of Adma, and Shemeber, king of Zeboelim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. And as the name Zoar will come up again some of these days. At any rate, this Amraphel, I think if you'll look in your notes, that he's the great Hammurabi. And we find a great deal about him in the tablets and so on. In fact, as far as we know in history back in those times, he was the first man to make a big, complete code of laws, the Code of Hammurabi. And we find in the actions of Abram and so on that he was following this code. The laws from God had not yet been given, which was later on a number of years from Sinai. And so Hammurabi is a well-known name, and he was practically a world conqueror at one time. And yet we find, as we go down here a little way, that Abram and a few of his servants licked him and sent him on his way and got all the loot back that he had taken. I'm anticipating, but sometimes we need to look forward a little bit. Now, verse 3, all these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. That is, we call it the Dead Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer, and the kings were with him, and smote the Rephaim, and Ashtaroth, and Carnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Enims in Sheba, and Kiriathaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir, unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to En-Mishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazazon Tamar. And there went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zebulun, and the king of Dilah, the same of Zoar. And they joined battle with him in the Vale of Siddim. But when Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with title king of nations, and Amraphel king of Shinar, and Ariok king of Ilias, were 4 kings of 5. And the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they that remained fled to the mountains. Slime pits, that's where they got this bitumen. And used in fastening bricks together and so on, which we've spoken about before in the building of the Tower of Babel. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, his goods and departed. Lot gets into bad luck already, doesn't he? Associating with that kind of people, and then he's gotten into the soup. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. They all worked together when they were sticking together for protection. When Abram heard his brother was taken captive, oh, not his brother, his nephew, but it says brother here, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them into Dan. Now that's a pretty small number, but they're well trained. 318. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them into Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. That's way up there. And he brought back all the goods, also brought back again his brother Lot, his goods, and women also, and the people. Got the whole bunch. Now here is Abram, with a few hired servants, was able to lick the man who was really the world's ruler at that time, Hammurabi. Just keep that in mind. He couldn't have done it in his own power. God was with him. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that dwelt with him at the Valley of Sheba, which is in the king's vale. And here's another personage comes in. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, which would be later Jerusalem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. I have had several hints over the years that this Melchizedek may have been Shem. Now you do a little searching and seeing for yourself, see what you think. He brought the bread and the wine, priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. That is, Abram gave tithes to Melchizedek. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." He was very glad to escape alive. Abram had saved his life. And so he said, "Well, just take the goods for your salary for doing that." And Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portions of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Abram's not going to have anything to do with these heathen, wicked people, not even take any money or goods or anything from them. He wants to be clear. Well, folks, that's a good stand. We can't be too careful, I guess, about what we do in the world. Well, chapter 15. We have some time yet. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, my exceeding great reward. Makes us think of the whole armor in Ephesians, doesn't it? The shield of faith. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Hasn't any heir to give all of his goods to, to carry on the line. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that comes from come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. In other words, his steward would not be his heir, but his son. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And here he was, an old man, childless. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. You find that repeated in Romans 4:3. Believed in the Lord, and it's counted to him for righteousness. Keep that in mind. That's a good thing to remember. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer 3 years old, and a she-goat 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, laid each piece one against another, split them all open, but the birds divided he not. When the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Of course, all the turkey buzzards and whatnot to be on hand right away with his dead carcasses there. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, that is God, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them. Now this parenthesis in here throws a lot of folks. I'll go back again here and leave that out. Know of a surety thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. 400 years. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean all of that's in Egypt. And also, that nation whom thou shalt serve will I judge. After shall they come out with great substance. Now, you'll find 400 years here. You'll find, after a while, 430 years. And you begin to wonder. Well, actually, the sojourn in Egypt was 215 years. I'll give you that in advance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. So it'll take 4 generations before they can come back and clean the land of the Amorite, their iniquity. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. A burning furnace, the slavery of Israel and Egypt. And a lamp, delivery, hope. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. I just get that. Now, the river of Egypt is not the Nile. Unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, and the Cadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. I have all of these. All their lands. Well, we're down to chapter 16. Making some headway. And Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee go in to my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And according to the law of Hammurabi, that was okay. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Maybe he shouldn't have. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. These things happen, don't they? And Sarah said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I've given my maid into thy bosom. I want you to notice, here's Abraham's bosom. Remember the parable in Luke? And in Luke, the bosom of Abraham represented the kingdom of heaven. All right. Put two and two together sometimes. You can get four at least. Well, my wrong be upon thee, she says. I've given my maiden thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleases thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Got kind of mean to her. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou, God, seest me, for she said, Have I also looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi, the hole is between Kadesh and the Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bore, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. 86 years, that's 86. Well, we have a little bit left. We're in chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old, that's 4 years after this now. And, well, wait a minute here, I'm going back again now. When Abram was 90 years old and 9, I was thinking about Sarah. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. I'm going to repeat the promise, the unconditional covenant that he made before. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for thee, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called the Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Now, putting the H in there, H was number 5 in the Hebrew alphabet. So his number was 5, and 5 is a number of grace. And so grace is given unto Abraham. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give it unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God, that is, the children of Abraham. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. This is a sign of a covenant. This is first introduced here as far as the Bible is concerned. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and ye shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. Over in Romans, Paul was telling some of those Israelites, Abraham believed faith, and it was counted to him for righteousness before he was circumcised while he was still a Gentile. And I don't think they liked that too well. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thine house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarah thy wife, As for Sarah thy wife, I shall not call her name Sarah, S-A-R-A-I, but S-A-R-A-H, Sarah shall her name be. They each put in there the number of grace. So both Abraham and Sarah have an H number of grace added to their names. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him as 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Pretty old couple. And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He just couldn't believe God. God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I'll make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Now our time is up here, so I'll have to figure not quite finish the chapter. Dear Father, we do ask that thou would bless us as we read these things and study them, that we may know thee better because of these things. And thy provision for us in these days and the promises thou hast made to the church, which is the body of Christ. Help and guide that we may be fruitful in all good works, that we might have a witness through Christ, we ask it. Amen.